17. John chapter 17 is the real Lord's Prayer. This is actually the Lord praying. When what we call the Lord's Prayer is just an outline for prayer, which I've told y'all that before, just, you know, how should they pray. But this is actually the Lord praying, and I got a key point, but I thought, well, I'm just going to read the whole thing. I hated to jump into the middle of his prayer, but I want you to pay attention while we're going through this as to what Jesus prayed for. Tell me what the theme, when you get to the end, I want you to know what the main gist of the prayer is all about. In John chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible says, "These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more of the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou sent me unto the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they might all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they might be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Behold, thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared thy name, and will declare it, with the love wherewith thou hast loved me, may be in them, and I in them." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this prayer. And it's encouraging to know, Lord, that you pray for us. And I pray now that you speak to our hearts as the preaching of your word goes forth. You know every need that's here. And Jesus' name I pray. Title of the message is The Mission. It's called The Mission. And like I said, here's the Lord praying. And and I know that he prayed in other places, and it's even recorded in the Bible. He prayed in other places. And I noticed the one thing that I see there, that he really prayed a lot. The gist of that prayer had to do with what we are to be doing in the world. Praying for because he was going to leave, and he was going to work through us. He was going to work through his followers, his believers. And so most of that prayer, especially as you got past the first third of it, had to deal with us. You know, his disciples that he had then, those that we're going to have here. I know that Jesus had compassion on the sick. We know that. He healed a lot of people. He loves people. He loved to heal those people. But he didn't have one sick request in that prayer right there. Everything had to do with spiritual power and the purpose of glorifying God. What's our purpose in all the earth? It's to glorify God. That's our sole purpose for being on earth. And the key verse that I really wanted to preach from tonight had to do with verse 18. And it says there, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." That's the key verse that I want us to really think about as we start thinking about that. This is a commission right here. We know we have the Great Commission in the end of a couple of the Gospels. Matthew has it, but here's the commission as well. This is the same one. Commission Jesus' followers. Also, like I say, in the Gospel of John, he speaks about that. John 20 and 21, Jesus appeared after his resurrection in the upper room. He said, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you." And right after that, he breathed on them and gave them the Holy Ghost. He said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And I'll talk about that a little bit later in a couple of the points. When Jesus prayed, when he prayed that prayer, he prayed aloud that the disciples that were standing around, they heard it. Just like I read it, if that would have been Jesus praying, we would have heard what he was praying about. They heard that. They heard the commission that he had from them. All the original disciples were there. They weren't the only ones present, though. The Emmaus Road disciples had come back. We know that they were there. There was probably some other ones in the room as well. And so Jesus said, in verse 9, he went on and he said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." And, he prayed for others that follows us. Verse 10 gives us a reason. All that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. There again, our purpose that's written down right there. I mean, there was a lot of things. Man, when you think about what he prayed for, and I was going down through there, and I underlined some things, and I wrote them down. So that verse 10 tells us that he prayed that we would be able to glorify him, glorify the Father. He glorified the Father, and so we're continuing what Jesus did. He prayed that they would be kept in verse 11, and that we would be as one as he was with the Father, that we would be at one with them. That's man, this is a prayer right here. Not a lot of superficial stuff. I mean, this was getting down to brass tacks on what you and I were going to need to go out into the world and win people to Christ. He prayed that they would have his joy fulfilled. We would have his joy fulfilled in ourselves. Man, well, how do you have his joy fulfilled in us and ourselves? Well, you just be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, when are you going to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you when you're doing what God intended for you to do, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you're going to have joy in yourself because you're doing what God built you to do. That's what God built us to do. And you'll never be totally satisfied, and you'll never have joy in your life like he's talking about until you start fulfilling your purpose in the earth. This is an honest fact. I know. How do you know? Well, because now I'm 70 years old, and and I've tried every other thing to get the deal done and be happy about everything, and I found out over all those years that it doesn't happen until I just start doing what Jesus wants me to do. And then he feels, I get to that. I'm probably all over my other points, but you'll probably have to hear them three times to remember them anyway, so I'll get it to you there in a minute. But he prayed for that. He prayed that we'd have his joy fulfilled in us. It's his joy. He prayed that we wouldn't be taken out of the world in verse 5, but that we would be kept from evil. Why didn't he want us to be taken out of the world? Because he's got us something for us to do while we're down here in the earth. He prayed for that. He prayed for our sanctification in verse 17. Man, we hardly ever pray for this for other people. We usually don't pray for these things. He prayed for our commission in verse 18, our key verse. In verse 20, it shows that prayer is not just for those that those believers that were present. See what he said in verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone that were present, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Well, that's us. Because it was, they preached to people and they believed, and those people preached and they believed, and here we are 2,000 years later, somebody preached to us. and we got the word. Amen. Amen. So amen. This is what it was all about. And so he prayed that, like I say, for the sanctification, our commission. He prayed for us and them. Prayed that we would have his glory in verse 22. Man, that is a great thing. I paid a little more attention to this. It says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one." We've got his glory. We've got his glory, the glory of Jesus that he has given to us. He says that. And that the world, he prayed that the world would know that we were sent by him. In another verse, he prayed that we would be with him. So we see the gist of this prayer had to do with the mission that he came to this earth to fulfill. And now he was only here. He was 30, about 33 years old. He was on earth, but he was only 3.5 years in ministry. So anybody knew what was actually going on, in a concentrated effort there. That was it. And the rest of it, he's been working through his people ever since. That's what he does. That's how he does it right there. So when we look at this, and you got to remember that Jesus was about to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was about to be tried. He was about to be crucified. His work and his purpose was to be continued through his followers. Man, this is what he's got for us right here. We got to get our mind on the mission. Man, this is the mission at hand. So I'm going to show you some things about the mission. A few points won't keep you too long, but famous last words, right? That's what Elizabeth Taylor told all of her husbands. Won't keep you too long. And we see, number one, the pattern of the mission. The pattern of the mission, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world. As thou hast sent me. Jesus was the most missionary-minded man that ever walked the earth. He left heaven because of the mission that he had to come to earth for the cause. This is why he left heaven, wrapped himself in flesh, and came to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. Man, this was it, to die on the cross. We'd have the gospel message. And that was his whole purpose. It was a mission. He went on a mission. He went on a missionary journey from heaven down to earth, down this, and walked around on this earth. And he preached that message of redemption. Man, listen, Jesus, to do that, he had to sacrifice. Think what he left. Man, you're talking about stooping down. He left the glory of heaven. He set his deity aside for the most part. He left the glory of heaven, came down here, wrapped himself in flesh, got an old body like we got that would get older as went along. Of course, he didn't get that old in his human body, but he did suffer. Like, he sweat like everybody else. He thirsted like everybody else. He hungered like everybody else. He felt pain when he wasn't immune to the pain of the thorns and the scourge and the nails and on the cross and all those things. He knew what those things were like. He felt the beating and everything that happened to him. I believe his heart hurt like ours does when we're disappointed, when we've been rejected, when we've been despised. I believe he felt all those things that we would, because he lived as a man. He felt as a man. And so it was a sacrifice. He stooped down and washed the disciples' feet. To show us how to get humble ourselves and get down and be a servant. Man, he was a servant. And it wasn't a limit to it either. That shows you there wasn't a limit to what he would do. A lot of people say, well, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. Well, Jesus did it all. Jesus did it all. This was his mission there. He surrendered his will. Not my will, but thy will be done. He surrendered his will to the Father. Man, that's an everyday thing for you and I. We have to surrender our will to his will. Jesus had to do the same thing. He surrendered his will. He had to become a servant. And in a big way, boy, he was serving us when he went to the cross to pay for our sin. That's a servant right there. And he had to go to the cross. He had to shed his blood for our sins so that we could be saved. So his whole purpose, the whole purpose that he had was this mission. Now, this mission of the gospel message that would go out seeking to save that which was lost. This was the pattern. So he gave us a pattern for the mission as we look at his life all the way down through there. The Father's will, that's what he had on his mind. And So he sacrificed and surrendered and became a servant and all those things. That's the pattern for us to be a missionary. Man, we were taught, you know, we always think of missions as being foreign missions. Listen, there's the mission field right there. It's right there. You're going to run into somebody tomorrow that don't know Jesus. Might be at the work, might be at the store. Might be somebody you don't know. Somebody, you might stop, somebody has a flat tire, maybe somebody will help them. Hey, you got a chance to talk. I guarantee you while you're changing somebody's tire for them, they listen to what you got to say. They might not like it, but they'll be happy their tire gets fixed, right? Yeah, there's somebody out there that we need to tell the gospel. You know, we need to do this. This has got to be it. Our mind is on so many other things, even as church people, or even at church, and I'll get to that in a minute. But this is our purpose, is to tell somebody about Christ, their need of being saved. There's people out there, they don't even, number one, they don't know they're lost. They don't know that, and you got to get them lost before they realize they have a need, that they need Jesus. There's people that don't know this. They need to know it. Hey, not everybody's going to be receptive to it. That's not our problem. Our problem is to go. That's all he said. He said to go, and not everybody believed Jesus, and he preached and worked miracles in front of them, and people still didn't believe in him. So that's going to happen as us as well, but our mission is just to go. We look at the place of the mission. We think the world, or even the earth, we could say the world, but you know, there's the world of the spiritually blind. They don't know. They didn't know. I didn't know. I grew up in a mainline church, a mainline denominational church, and we didn't go all that often about that either. But I went to the little vacation Bible schools, and I went to Sunday school as a kid, and I knew that there was a Jesus, and I knew that about the cross. I didn't know what I know about it now, but I knew that he died on the cross. I didn't understand all this because nobody ever told me. Nobody told me. I didn't know how you had to be saved. I didn't know you had to call on the name of Jesus and ask for forgiveness of your sins. Even as just on the peripheral of the church, I grew up in an age when there was hardly anybody. I was 17 when I met my first atheist, and I was just blown away that this guy didn't believe that there was a God. I'd never met anybody like that. But I mean, there's people that are like that. There's people in churches around, believe me, they don't know that they need to be saved. They don't talk about that. And so, you know, this is a mission, and that's why he prayed. Listen, he prayed that we wouldn't be taken out of the world, but we would be kept from the evil. That's why when you get saved, you just don't go to heaven. If that was the case, you just get saved. That was the only purpose. But God didn't want to work through us. You'd get saved and go to heaven. Why stay, right? But he's got something for us to do, and it's not just to bide our time until the end comes, end of everything. And so this is supposed to be, listen to me, he established the church in the world. Christ established the church. This is not man's idea. This is his. Now, it's not perfect because we can mess up anything, right? Not the church as a whole. It's not a perfect, but he established the church. He died for the church, and he's coming back for the church. And this is Christ's plan from day one. And he commissioned us. Listen. This is to be the principal aim of the church. This has got to be our main purpose. And churches have got away from it. Churches got away from it. I'll get to that point in a minute. But this is what he said. To go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I'm going to tell you something. God blesses the church that does that. God will bless the church that goes out and fulfills his commission. And I'm going to tell you what, if he doesn't, he's not under any obligation to bless us. I think only as we fulfill the purpose for which he created the church that he's going to bless. You ever wonder why you ride around? I remember one place in particular in my mind when we lived up in Culpeper County. And we'd go down 17 to go to Virginia Beach where I grew up. My parents still live there. Along the way, man, there'd be these old church buildings over there. Somebody was kind of keeping the grass mowed, but you can tell they wasn't using it for a church. Had a cemetery. Several of them had cemeteries. There's some around here. I can show you one down there off Turn Stony Battery and hook around there like the Mary Patzels. There's an old church. There's one down here at the other end of Buchanan. When you go over the bridge, there's the old stone church. Turned it into an antique store. I asked one time if any of y'all ever remember when that was a church. And I don't think anybody in here remember it being a church. What happened? Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I know he's talking about the church as a whole, but the church as a whole is made up of individual churches. What happened to them churches? Church there long enough to have 50 or 100 people in the cemetery, now boarded up and fallen down and closed up and nobody having church. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. They quit fulfilling the mission. They quit teaching and preaching and fulfilling that mission. There's churches around here, congregations of 4 and 5 people, and not a one of them younger than 75 or 80 years old. What's going to happen next 10 years? Huh? What are they doing? Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Well, see you next week. That's what they're doing. They're not doing anything. That's why it got to that point. Well, you know, preacher, man, I'm too old. Caleb was 85 years old, and he said, give me this mountain, God. I'm strong enough to go get it. And he went and got it. That's a great message. I mean, somewhere along the way, these churches forgot what the mission was. And the church turned into something else. It became a nursing home for old Christians just to bide their time until they bit the dust and went on to glory. That was it. It's just a nursing home. Everybody come in and sit around. Everybody's on life support spiritually, if not physically. They didn't win anybody to Christ or even try to win anybody. And, you know, you can go out there and listen, man, Moses or Noah. Noah preached for 120, I think it was, and he got 8 souls saved, counting himself. And but he was, you know, he was telling people he was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. And so you can't help that, but some people aren't even trying. And I believe in this day and time, listen, there's people, if you try hard enough, you're going to lead somebody to Christ, right? That's what we have to do. I've said this every year at New Year's. I'm going to give you your New Year's message now before the New Year gets here. If everybody in here won one person to Christ that's lost and got them in church, I'm not good at math, but we would double in size. Huh? That's how we're right. That we would double, huh? The kingdom of God would expand. And all the churches did that. Man, listen, it'd be everybody be knocking walls down, building onto the church, right? This is it. Many churches have become hospitals for the spiritually feeble. You need the pastor to hold your hand and nurse you along and tell you everything's going to be okay and you can make it, brother. You can make it, sister. Just hold on to the end. Let me help you get you over the hump and tell you it's going to be all right. You spend so much time dealing with the supposed to be strong and mighty Christians that are going to go out there and charge hell with a squirt gun. You spend more time saying, brother, you know, come on back to the church. They get discouraged. And come on, what happened to you? And what's going on here? And, you know, and helping this one over the hump. And this one's down and this one's up. And pastors spend most of their time dealing with the congregation they got. They don't have time to go out there and win anybody to Christ. We should be out there doing that. This is what happens. So spiritual hospitals. Then we become fortresses. Churches have become fortresses for the fearful, those that are afraid of everything out there. And so they're too afraid to pray in public, so they got to come to church. We get behind the walls. Now we can pray, and now we can read a Bible, and now we can say amen, and maybe raise our hand about, like, I guess, high, you know, praising God. We don't pray. Don't want anybody to see it. And praise our hand. It becomes this fortress, and we get outside the church, wouldn't nobody know you're a Christian in a million years? Afraid to say anything. So we trying to hide from the conflict and hide from the battle. We become homeless shelters, man, trying to house everybody. We've had people come in here, man, over the years. I could tell you stories. Oh, preacher, can you help us with the electric bill? We'll start coming to church. Help them with electric bill. Then it's electric bill next month. Then it's electric bill next month. I said, look, man, we can't support your whole family. You know, we're a church, not not a rescue mission in that regard. Well, then as soon as you quit paying electric bills, out the door they go, man. Like, we're the homeless shelter, credit union, they think, or we're a sports club. What do you have? What kind of sports teams do you have? Daycares, man. Can you watch my kids? Travel agencies, man. Hey, can we go to King's Dominion? I'd like to go. Here's a good one. I'd like to go on a mission trip to some foreign place somewhere. All we need is a church to sponsor me for $3,000. They ain't never even witnessed to the next door neighbor. They've never witnessed to a soul right here in America. And you want me to give you $3,000 to go overseas and you're going to talk to somebody about Jesus? I don't think you will. I don't think so. You want to be on travel agent for get me to on a trip one time. And listen, churches end up doing everything and anything other than what Christ commissioned us to do, and it's to tell other people about Jesus. And you still won't be happy. Huh? You go to King's Dominion, and half of them will be whining that they wanted to go to Busch Gardens. They won't be happy. I'm telling you the truth, man. It doesn't matter what you do. We got to do what Christ commissioned us to do, or all churches just shrivel up and they'll die. This is what happens. They get excited. Man, you look at that church in Acts. I didn't put that in here, but it had been a good spot right here. You look at Acts, man. 5,000 people getting added to the church in a day. Man, you can't read. You read down through there. Man, I don't know about you, but when I start reading, man, the pace picks up. My heartbeat picks up. I mean, things start picking up because it's like a buzz. It's buzzing in the pages of the Bible. You can see the excitement. They had all things in common. They had joy. They had fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And God was doing great things. Boy, the Holy Spirit was moving. I'm going to tell you what, a lost person couldn't walk in that church in Acts. And one of two things going to happen. They was either going to have to get out or they was going to have to get saved. Because the Holy Spirit was so moving so powerfully in that church. That's what would happen. Huh? Ananias and Sapphira come in there and try to make people think, oh, well, yeah, we gave all the money from this sale of land. They didn't have to give any, but they wanted people to believe they did. And that church was so holy that the Holy Ghost of God killed both of them. Killed them for being a fake. Just being a fake. What if God was killing us for being fakes today? Huh? I'm going to invest in Ray Sloan's funeral parlor, man. I'm going to see if he wants to sell some stocks. Huh? Man, it'd be like, huh? You wouldn't even have to pay me no more. I could just make money on preaching funerals. This is how it would be. I mean, if God was doing that. But this is what happened, man. The church was exciting, man. Why? Because people were going. How did 5,000 souls get added to the church in a day? That must have been some preacher. He must have been a really good preacher. No. It was the people that were going out and so excited telling other people about Jesus. They were fulfilling the mission of the church. And people came in and they was just, man, I got to go down there and see what's going on. Huh? That's it. That's what happened. You know, I'm going to tell you what, you get full of Jesus. Jesus always drew a crowd. We get full of Jesus and Jesus is here. If everybody's riding up and down the road right now, now there's some of them wouldn't come. But if everybody's riding up and down, they said, hey, look at that church right there. Jesus is there. We're coming in. I want to come and see it. I want to come and be in that atmosphere right there. That's what happened in the church of Acts. This is it, man. And so mission work is the life of the church. It's the life of the church, and we're on the mission field every day. I've had more fun in the last bunch of years. I run into people turkey hunting out in the middle of the woods, and I start talking to them about Jesus. Run into them in Colorado. I led my hunting guide to the Lord in Colorado. He told me, this guy wasn't even church, man. He wasn't even church. He said, you know what? He didn't know. He said, God didn't send you out here to get an elk. He sent you out here because I need to get saved. There's people in churches don't even know that. This guy's never been in church. I mean, all I did was just start talking to him about Jesus. It wasn't no big, you got to have an associate's degree or a master's degree or a doctor's degree to go in there and talk to somebody about Jesus. You just start talking to him. Hey, where's your head at about with God? Let me tell you what you need, man. God, your soul's important. I mean, man, it's easy. It's easy. God said he put the words in our mouth, right? Jesus said he put the words in our mouth. Believe it. He'll do it. He'll do it. It'll work. And this is the life of the church. Well, who have you witnessed to? Or who have you led to the Lord? Somebody been saved 10, 20, 30, 40 years and never led a single soul to the Lord, they ain't trying very hard. I'm not saying everybody's going to get saved, but if you've been saved any amount of time and you've never led anybody to the Lord, you're just not trying. Huh? God would certainly give you a soul to win. Because he really has to do the work. All you have to do is do the talking. It's nothing, you know, we don't talk them into it. God does it, and he would certainly do that. Let me tell you about the mission. The mission will bless your soul. The mission will bless your soul. It will give an opportunity for your faith to grow. Huh? You got to operate on faith. Well, I hope they don't kill me when I start talking about Jesus. Huh? It gives you, it's a blessing to you. It gives you opportunity for your faith to work, your faith to grow. Your love will suddenly be awakened to somebody that needs the Lord. Your scope, how you view everything, will be enlarged. You'll see, hey, man, it's not just here at this little place. It's not just this one little person. Man, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. We have this opportunity to be a witness. You'll be drawn into prayer because your purpose will become clear. You'll know, man, I've got to pray. I'll pray. Try this prayer if you're not afraid. Ask God to put somebody in your path. Don't say, well, this week or this month. Tomorrow. Get specific. God, put somebody in my path tomorrow I can witness. See if God don't answer that. Witness to. And you'll have a satisfied life. Now you'll be satisfied. Won't matter how much money you have. Won't matter how big a house you have, how many cars you have, how many guns you have, how many tractors you got. You'll just be satisfied with what you got. Doesn't matter. Won't matter. And then, not only will you be blessed, we start fulfilling the commission, our mission. It'll be a blessing to the world. It'll be a blessing to the world. Suppose someone hadn't been a missionary to you. I don't know how all of you got saved. I'm going to tell you how I got saved. I thank God for Pastor Woodard. He's dead now. My pastor at Maranatha Baptist Church, Amosville, Virginia. Brother Cooper. Brother Cooper was the song leader. Truman Cooper. Told you about that guy. Started the church over in Sicily before I ever got there. I didn't know nothing about it. I lived right around the corner in a little Italian town named Moda S. Anastasia. Lived in this town. Had an American church there. It said, Independent Fundamental Bible Believing Baptist Church. Longest title I'd ever seen in my life. Every Wednesday night, I'd go down there and I'd stand out there and hitchhike down to the club on the base, the enlisted men's club. And I'd see them in there with their Bibles. The ladies all dressed nice. They had dresses on. They were sitting there with their Bibles. And I'd look in there and I'd say, yeah, you know, I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was cool, whatever they wanted to do. Anyway, a lot more to the story. But years later, Truman Cooper lived right down the road from me and Sherry where we bought our first house. That church, that he was sitting in my living room the night I got saved. He had been in the Navy. We started talking about where you been. I said, well, I was in Sigonella. He said, man, I was in Sigonella. He said, I started a church up in a little town, Modus. I said, man, I lived right around the corner from it. What are the odds of that? On a country road in Culpeper, Virginia, having it in the same church. And he was there when I got saved. Thank God somebody came to the door, man, and they had to come three times. Not because I argued with them or fought them off. I just had to think it over. They liked coming to me because I'd listen to them. Third time, buddy, third time's a charm. I think it was Brother Cooper that asked the question. Have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your life? Mm-mm. No, I was a Methodist. We didn't do that. He said, well, here's what the Bible says, man. He showed me the word. I said, well, man, I need to do it. I need to get saved. I knew I was a sinner, right? And so there it is, man. Thank God somebody came to my house. Somebody had a missionary mind to come out and just... Did it take faith? Sure. They didn't know me that well. They didn't know me. But they came out there with the word of God and got saved. Thank God for that. And it might be here, that might be your testimony, that somebody carried the gospel to you or your parents or somebody in your family and you got saved. And thank God for that. Amen. There's the prerequisite for the mission, though. We can also see in verse 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then down, we already read 18 and verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Man, sanctification, that's a being set apart. That's a process of being made holy, being made pure for a sacred purpose. There's a purpose for that. Being transformed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's the sanctification process. We've got to have that. To be able to fulfill the mission, we just have to. It's growth in grace, obedience, moral purity, those things. The prerequisite for the mission. And then we see the power for the mission. First thing we know, I said in verse 18, that's a divine commission right there. That's the words of Jesus. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We got a divine commission. Let me tell you what, Jesus never commands us. He never commands us that he doesn't give us the power or the wherewithal to obey the command. He just doesn't do that because it's not in our strength, it's his. It's not in our might and power, but it's his. And he commanded us to go into the world. I read that to you a few minutes ago. Go out into the world and commanded us to go in his name. There's your authority right there. And to continue the work which he began as a missionary himself. This is what he wants us to do. And then we have the Holy Ghost. I quoted to you from John chapter 20. He told them to peace be with them and then receive ye the Holy Ghost. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you, he told in verse 21. And then he said in verse 22, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Why does Jesus give us the Holy Spirit? Just so we feel good. Ooh, preacher, man, I had goosebumps running up and down the back of my neck. Woo! Huh? You may, but is that why he gave us the Holy Spirit? Is it just for us? Receive ye the Holy Spirit? Make us feel good? Be full of joy? Well, you will have joy and you will feel good. Get those goosebumps? Or is it just so that we would have the power to have personal victory in our life over the world, the flesh, and the devil? That is a result of that. But is that why he gave us the Holy Spirit? Just for that? Just so we can get victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil? A lot of people haven't even got past that step, and it's hard to get past to the mission step if you can't get past this step right here. But that's why he did it? No, that's not it. Just to help us make it through to the end. You know, I have to get me there. No. To empower us for the mission. And it's the main point. And I got this feeling. A lot of people say, well, you know, preacher, I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit of God like you're talking about. Maybe because you're not fulfilling the mission or going on the commission that he said, just go. You can't wait for some supernatural event. Well, I got the Great Commission. I'm just kind of waiting for that unction from on high. No, you already got a word from God. Amen. To go. Do it. Then you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's that, because we have a purpose for it. It's not for nothing. It's the main point. The main point of being filled by the Holy Spirit. Not just to be feeling good, but to empower us for the mission that Christ has called us to do. This is it. All the other benefits, we get those when we get to the purpose, when we get to the point. That's what we get to. Jesus was the most missionary-minded man there ever lived. That's what he had on his mind. Weary, tired, man healed people all day, cast out demons all day. Far into the evening, he had to get in a boat one time and push off from the shore so he could turn around and preach to people. He was tired. They wouldn't leave him alone, and he kept on, and he kept on, and he kept on, no matter what, because he had that mission. We got to get it. Huh? We got to get it. This isn't something that's just going to happen. We're waiting for the doors to blow wide open and we're going to tell somebody about Jesus. No, we got to go get up and one day and say, listen, I am going out the door. I don't care what you're doing, what your job is, where you're heading, but I'm on the mission. I'm always on the mission. If we focus on that, we'll see God bless. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to everybody else. It'll be a blessing to the world. It'll be a blessing to the church. I'm going to tell you what, we see God move. We'll see God move if we get our mind on the mission. Amen? Amen. All right, that's all I've got.